Would you rather chase a paycheck your whole life or build something that sets you free? Welcome back to Deeper Than Dough. I'm your host, Bennett Maxwell, and today we're diving into how to scale smart, keep your sanity, and maybe, just maybe, retire your parents in the process. If you're ready to build deeper, hit that like, subscribe, and let's get into it. What if you could own a smoothie franchise for under $300K and have it open and operating in just a matter of months? Sounds too good to be true? Well, it's not. In today's episode, I'm talking with Brad Davis, the founder of Roxbury, who's been in the franchise game for years, growing successful brands like Zooka Juice and helping build Roxbury into what it is today. We dive into how they've managed to create a simple, scalable system for both new and seasoned entrepreneurs with a focus on health, quality, and real business impact. If you're thinking about scaling your own business, make sure to hit the like and subscribe. You don't want to miss this one. Brad, welcome. Super excited to talk to you about Roxbury. We've known each other for a few years, but you've been helping me on the dirty dough side. And now I'm excited to dive into Roxbury and learn a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We're excited to sit down with you.
So let's start with the background of Roxbury and where we are at now as far as number of locations and expansion.
So Roxbury, to be honest, was kind of a labor of love. You know, years and years ago, I was part of a group that started a company called Zooka Juice. Mm-hmm. And we grew it pretty big. We grew it to over 100 stores, and then we sold it to Jamba. And then I went on and did some things with a couple other Utah-based brands.
Okay.
And then in 2008, I kind of got antsy, and I'm like, what am I going to do? I want to figure something out. And we had exited with another brand, and so we went back to the smoothies. And we just took what was best of best from the Zooka brand and the Jamba Juice brand, and created Roxbury.
I love it. And why smoothies? I'm a huge fan of smoothies because I feel like I can get a lot of protein in and it's light. You know, it's light on my stomach.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, for me, I mean, I was born and raised in Southern California, so okay. I loved the beach. My favorite place in the world is Hawaii, to be honest with you. And so smoothies just kind of speak to me.
Yeah.
Smoothies and acai bowls, man. They're kind of my feel-good foods.
I love them. I mean, I'm always using them as a meal replacement because I'll go to I always order your protein berry smoothie with an extra scoop of whey protein.
There you go. Yeah,
and it's freaking delicious, and it's a great meal replacement.
We're leaning into that, to be honest. Protein, we're going to be doubling down on some cool proteins.
I mean, because you guys right now, you guys have so many different add-ins to the menu, and it's both whey and soy protein. And then all of like the energy, vitamins, all of those health shots as well. So how many locations?
We currently have 23 open and operating. We have 2 in construction, and we're setting the goal with you to sell a bunch more franchises and really scale.
Yeah. I mean, every brand kind of hits the let's grow, let's figure it out, you know, kind of slow. And then it's kind of clicks. You're like, okay, we've been doing it for, I mean, however many years, right?
It's been 17 years. To be honest, we first opened in 2008 and it was full speed ahead.
Yeah.
And then there was a recession in 2009. I don't know if you remember that, but we pivoted and we said, okay, Roxbury's great, but we're going to put it on the back burner. And I focused for the next 12 years. I focused on Costa Vida, which is a Utah-based, you know, fresh Mexican
cool
concept.
Brand.
I was also part of Subway Sandwiches, and we were the development agent for Subway Sandwiches in the state of Utah. And so, you know, my hat was squarely Costa Vida, Subway Sandwiches, and Roxbury, you know, it got attention, but very little because we just were focused on these other brands. And it hasn't been until fairly recently that we decided to move it up to the front burner and say, okay, it's worthy of growth. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. And that's been over the last, I guess, few years. COVID was hard, kind of rebuild, reset, and then ready to launch.
Exactly.
What do you think makes Roxbury stand out compared to like a Jamba Juice or another concept?
Great question. You know, Jamba Juice is a great concept. I have great respect for them. I was part of their system for a while. What really sets us apart is our ingredients. You can go to a lot of juice bars out there and you pick up, you know, say, show me the strawberry, physically show me the strawberry that's in my smoothie. Uh-huh. And they can't because they don't have a strawberry. It's some kind of a puree or a powder. And so Roxbury, it comes down to our ingredients. You know, we will not second guess that. We absolutely have to go with the best that we can find.
I love it. And you can taste it. I mean, most people are listening to this, but I'm drinking Roxbury.
Yeah, we both got Roxbury's right here.
How quickly can you open up a store? Like if I'm signing for a franchise right now, what's kind of the timeline to open and that process like?
You know, it can go fairly quick once we find the real estate. Mm-hmm. The real estate's probably the biggest cog in the wheel. Sometimes it's hard to find the real estate. But once you find the real estate, you can typically be open within 90 days.
Wow. So quick build out. What about costs?
Costs, have, unfortunately, they've creeped up for all brands out there. But right now, you're looking at probably, depending on the size of the, and the scope, you're probably looking at $220,000 to $300,000 before any allowances you might get from a landlord. And as you know, often landlords will throw a tenant improvement allowance at you, and it's usually around $60,000 to $70,000. Yeah. So if, assuming it's going to cost you $300,000 to build, you're going to
get $70,000 back.
Exactly.
When it's already all kind of set and done. I had a good question. I forgot what it was now. Locations, territory. Oh, well, maybe I'll go into this. So the site selection part is difficult. And for an entrepreneur, especially a first time business owner, like that's the scariest part for me. I'm signing a huge lease. Usually it's a personal guarantee. What support do you provide in, I guess, negotiating, finding, and that real estate piece?
That's a great question, Bennett. I'll tell you, that's one thing that we really pride ourselves in that's very, very different to other franchisors out there. We take a very active approach with helping you find your real estate. I'm personally an expert at finding real estate. I can't promise that, you know, I'm going to, you know, always win. But at the end of the day, you know, I was a franchisee for Costa Vida. I was a franchisee for Subway Sandwiches. I was a franchisee for Jamba Juice. So I squarely know the difference between being a franchisee and a franchisor. Mm-hmm. And most brands that say, okay, you're a franchisee now, but you got to go find your location. And they don't give you much help. And you're out there just on your own.
It's kind of like, here's the specs, go find a realtor, good luck. And you're
exactly.
like, what?
Yeah. So we work with, you know, with outside realtors for sure. But we work in concert with them and you, and between you as a franchisee, us as a franchisor, and the community of realtors, we can find you in locations for sure.
That's awesome. And then once you have it, I mean, it sounds like the build out's really quick because the model's so simple.
Correct. It's really cookie cutter. Yeah.
This is something that I focused on with my brand, Dirty Dough. I'm like, I don't want to throw away cookies. I'm going to save them. And then we did shakes the next day or ice cream. And then you guys do something very similar. Every time I go, I could see on the window, do you want a mystery smoothie? Tell me about.
Call them mystery mixes. And to be honest, this is where it's kind of cool because as a franchisor, you bring talent and experience to the table, but so do your franchisees, right? And so we want to listen to our franchisees and learn because they're out on the street. They're learning every day. And one of our franchisees came to us and said, hey, you know, it's so hard when, you know, if we have all these controls for ingredients and how much product you put in that blender, but there's still, you know, the fudge area. And when franchisee, you know, or a team member accidentally puts a little bit too much, you know, yogurt or whatever in there, there's a little bit left in that blender. Yep. And when you're washing the blenders after you pour it, and you see that little bit of product in there going down the drain, it just kills you. You know?
I mean, it kills me because I always watch them dump it. I'm like, no, give me the rest.
I know, it's so hard.
I feel like when you add protein, it makes it bigger because I feel like it always.
You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
And there's so much waste. I mean, I see it literally every time. And it's, I mean, in my experience, it's not a little bit, you know.
It can add up. Oh, a franchisee came to us and said, dude, let's capture that. So we put it in, you know, we have to do it only with the fruit-based smoothies because the fruits blend, but, you know, the vegetable-based smoothies, they tend to not. So if there's a little bit left in the bottom of that blender, we pour it into a cup, and then we put that cup in the freezer. And then we keep pulling that cup out if there's extra in any blender. And so at the end of the day, you might have a full 16-ounce cup of, you know, 10 different smoothies.
Yeah.
That are fruit based, and then we'll sell that as we call it a mystery mix.
Yep.
Because it's really what a mystery that goes in there, and we sell that as at a little bit of a discount to our customers, and they love it because they're getting kind of a fun product at a cheaper rate.
Yes. I mean, thinking about all of those little details, whether it's you or a franchisee, and that feedback from the franchisee, that's great that they're giving it, but it's better that you're listening to it. And we actually we both had the same franchisee. Because franchisees had purchased a Dirty Dough, and they were awesome. Two young dudes. And I'm like, wait, how do you guys already own multiple Roxbury's and you're only like 22? Anyways, How did they get involved with Roxbury?
That's a really cool story, actually. We built a store here in Utah. It was actually our second store in the whole system. And it was a franchise store. And these young boys were, you know, just grade school age kids going to school. And they fell in love with Roxbury. And over the years, you know, with their family, they went to all the Rox- to the Roxbury store. And then as they became adults and decided, okay, we're ready for our career, what do we want to take on? They went back to their roots and said, man, we love Roxbury, so let's become a Roxbury franchisee.
And what I noticed, especially with Dirty Dough, they were one of our first franchisees, and we're still figuring everything out. They were an amazing operators. Like, they knew how to follow a system. Yep. And it was so much different working with them versus somebody that hadn't ever been in business before, because they're like, I mean, they're sending in P&Ls, you know? Yeah. And other people are like, what is a P&L? Exactly. So that business expertise, I think,
super it cool. helps. I mean, the good news is we have a system that if you haven't been in business before, we can tailor that to you and help you understand how to go down that road. But to the extent you've been in business, you can adopt obviously the best practices that we bring to the table as well.
Yeah. So what is that? Because I do feel like a lot of first time business owners go for franchises, which I would definitely recommend because you have a system. What was I going with that? I'm too scrambled right now. What did you just say?
You can be in business.
I was going to ask you about, like, did you tell me that there is like a coaching thing that you guys, do we want to talk about that? What you just mentioned on, if you're not in business, we could also support that. Do we want to get, okay.
We can do that.
Okay. So I'll go back into that. So as far as most people in franchising don't come with a business background. Well, I don't know if most, I don't know. A lot of people in franchising don't come with a business background. How do you, I guess, tailor your model specifically to them when they don't have that experience?
Yeah, we have to have kind of We have to have a system that's all encompassing that will help those that do not have a business background, mm-hmm. as well as help those that have a business background. And so the beauty of franchising is, you know, it appeals to hopefully a lot of people that, you know, they want to have their own business and they're willing to hang out their own shingle, mm-hmm. but they don't want to be by themselves. I mean, it's scary to be out there by yourself. So our system understands that dynamic, and most franchise systems do, but our system, I think we go a little bit above and beyond. You know, I used to be an attorney. I used to practice law, you know, uh-huh. and so I kind of look at things from a real logical standpoint. And so when we designed our system, we made it to the lowest level denominator where if someone doesn't really understand, you know, what a lease is and what that encompasses, we'll mm-hmm. walk them through that. We'll teach them that process.
And that's awesome because you need that extra time. And a lot of times when you don't know that, for whatever reason, we feel dumb or feel embarrassed, you know, because we're like, oh, wait, what is an LOI, you know? Because right. people are like, I submitted your LOI. And you're like, what is that? Should I ask what that is? You know, and to take that extra time to educate, I think is super beneficial, especially if you're going from, you know, you start with one. And I'll say this kind of with any franchise, you buy a franchise, you're buying a job, you're in control, but you typically still have to be there. But franchising is awesome because then you can scale. Once you have one open, you have your leadership, you have it figured out. Talk to me about multi-unit operations and kind of that potential there.
Yeah, the cool thing is in our system, we have everything from a single unit owner operator mm-hmm. to, you know, our largest franchisee today has 7 stores. So we've kind of got a good mix of both. And it depends on what your personal goals are. I mean, if you're looking to really scale, you know, this is a scalable program that's very rubber stampable, so to speak. But if you're also just looking, you know, one of our guys was one of our franchisees was a retired, you know, military person. And he just decided, you know, I just want one store. Mm-hmm. He built his one store and he loves it. You know, it just kind of cash flows and has great time with it. Didn't really want to scale. He was kind of at the end of his career and was ready to kind of slow down a little bit.
Do you allow, so like talking about that franchisee, is he working in the store every day or is it more you got to get in it, get your hands dirty, figure out the system, and then just make sure it's running?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I don't think he actually has active days that he comes to the business that he feels like he has to be there. Mm-hmm. I think his daughter works for him and so she's mostly in the store. But you can tailor it to what your needs are, you know.
And I'd always recommend if you go that route, I mean, learn the business first. Like you are the franchisee, you got to own it. Then you hire leadership and you can step out as they step up, I guess.
I think the key is knowing enough about your business that your team can't pull the wool over your eyes, right?
Yep.
It's important that, you know, you understand, and we you mentioned the profit and loss statement. Those are, you know, the eyeballs into your business. And if you start seeing your cost of goods sold creeping up or your labor creeping up, you know that something's going on in the store, and you have to have enough knowledge and tools and education and help from us to be able to look inside that and say, okay, do I have someone stealing from me, or do I have product being given away to their friends and family? And we can help do that, obviously. And that's important for a franchisee to know.
Let's dive into that a little bit more. What are the other support that's offered after the store's open?
Good question. The good news is, you know, we have a team that, you know, our goal, you know, we're Utah based, right? And most of our stores are in Utah. We visit every store, regardless of where you're at least once a month. Okay. So we have a team member from our team visit your store, help you prioritize what your needs are, understand what, you know, your goals are and your objectives are, and what, and, you know, if you have an employee that's suffering, okay, let's do some extra training while we're there. In Utah, it's really easy, you know, because we're here and headquartered here. We visit stores, you know, probably more than franchisees want. I mean, we're not policing them, but we're just going in there to help them and make sure that they're, you know, getting all the tools that they need. So we're, you know, in Utah, we can visit stores 3, 4, 5 times.
And that's like hands-on operation support, which you can't get better than somebody in your store rather than like on the phone, hey, this is happening.
But we also have that too. You know, we're always available for phone calls. We have a group me set up, you know, and the cool thing is oftentimes a franchisee will post something on our corporate group me or a franchise group me and say, I got a question about this. And to be honest, most of the time, another franchisee will chime in before we even get a chance to and answer their question and give them tools and
I think that's something to for sure look for in a franchise as well, is that community of franchisees.
Correct.
Are they interacting? Are they happy? You know, and, and that's a good evidence of that. Marketing. That's what I wanted to ask next. What are the marketing? Yeah. How does marketing work for Roxbury? What does corporate do? And what does the franchisee need to be doing?
So we charge a 2% marketing fee. Okay. So every store contributes 2% of their sales into the marketing fund that we don't own. It's collectively owned by all the franchisees. And obviously, we have a fiduciary duty on how to use those funds. And so we go to, we have a local marketing company, great digital marketing company. We shy away from traditional marketing like TV, radio, billboards. We'll do those if it makes sense, but you really can't calculate your ROI as much on those. So we've had great success with doing digital marketing and social media. And the cool thing is we can do it in a really fair way where you're contributing 2% and you're getting back the exact same as every store is. So we, what we do is we geographically target around your store and we hit that same geographic market, whether you're store number 23 or store number one, and whether you're, you know, the number one selling store or the number 23rd selling store, you get the same marketing approach that everyone gets. So it's very, very fast.
Okay, I want to point out the difference in that and what usually franchisors are very particular to call that 2%. Like, no, that's a brand building fund or a national, and they name it that to say, as franchise, you guys don't get that. That's for us to pay for our, you know, website and social media and photo shoots and all of that. And it typically isn't going back to the franchisee, where you're saying it does, which is awesome.
Absolutely,
In addition to that, what's recommended that the franchisees do for effective marketing in their store?
Yeah, local store marketing is, we call it boots on the ground. Yeah. You know, we just feel like the more active you are in your community, the better things are going to be. And here's a really good example. We had a store, it's a fairly mature store. I think it's been open about 7 or 8 years. And our franchisee had two stores and he decided to sell. He was at the age that he just wanted to kind of slow down in his life. So he sold those two stores. And one husband and wife came in and bought, it's a store in South Jordan, just so you know.
Cool.
And they bought this South Jordan store and sales have been up 30% in this fairly mature store. It's been open 7 or 8 years, right? So to get 30% month over month for the full year since they bought it. They've had it for a full year now, and they've averaged 30% every month increase in sales. The difference is they've been involved more in the community.
Yeah.
The first owner was great and he was cash flowing fine and it was a very good operated store. But the second owner just took it to a different level and said, okay, I'm going to be involved with communities. Yep. And dude, that's a prime example of what can happen.
Going back, actually, this reminds me of that mutual franchisee. Ben told me that like the most effective thing that they would do, like if it's slow, he's like, we just go give a few smoothies to, you know, some big corporate office or whatever. He's like, everybody receives you. And then you're leaving a flyer or whatever for catering and things like that. But you could walk in anywhere with a smoothie and you'll be received. I know this because I did it for a few years with cookies. You know, it's food. People love food.
Getting your product, our product, in their mouths is the true testament because it sells itself for and sure. They're going to want to come back. They're going to want to tell their friends.
Yep. Okay. So we have marketing. We've opened up the store. We're supporting on marketing and ops. Day-to-day operations. How simple or complicated is the day-to-day ops? Typically, employees are going to be the biggest pain point in retail. How many employees do we need?
Good questions. In a drive-through store, it's pretty fair to say you need at least two team members at a time. You know, maybe early in the morning when you're not really busy, maybe one team member can handle it.
Oh, okay.
But to be honest, really two team members are kind of the good experience. Beyond that, as your sales ramp throughout the day, we have some stores that will have 6 to 8 employees on shift because the stores are just crazy busy.
Yeah.
And we have some stores that, you know, 3 or 4 is kind of ample. The cool thing with it is we call it stations. And when you're really busy, you almost can't throw more labor at it because, there's the juice station and then there's the fruit station and then there's a blending station and so forth. And you can't, at some point, your labor becomes a diminishing percentage because as your sales increase, you don't need to add labor to facilitate that. You keep your same labor in there. So even, 8 employees is a lot. You'd have to be really, really, really busy to need 8 employees. And now when I used to do Costa Vida and Subway sandwiches, it was a totally different scenario because you're building these products from scratch. And we are too at Roxbury, but it's a strawberry. Yeah. You throw it in and mix it, right? It's not like you have to be back in the back making refried beans or something, right? So it's from a labor standpoint, there's a lot of efficiencies in the smoothie world.
How easy is it to get that employee trained? Like, what's that process like, the day-to-day operations?
It's not hard. From an operations standpoint, comparing, to the other brands that I, used to run, smoothies are pretty simple. Mm-hmm. The good news is most of our products are frozen and they go into that blender frozen. And so if you're not very busy during the afternoon, it's not like you're going to have that chicken, spoiling in the back room, right? So because it's frozen, the likelihood of a lot of waste is severely reduced.
And then the little part of waste that you did have, you also eliminated that with the mystery mix.
Yeah, and we, exactly. The mystery mix came out and really helped that. I mean, we do have fresh fruits, for our acai bowls and things that we top it with. And we have fresh vegetables as well. So we have to, balance. But most of what we do is frozen fruits. So that helps. And let me tell you about frozen fruits, if you don't mind.
Please.
Okay. When you think of the attributes of a smoothie, what comes to mind? In my mind, you want it to be really healthy. Okay. Mm-hmm. You want it to taste great. You want it to be thick and you want it to be cold. I mean, there's nothing worse than a warm, thin smoothie in my mind. I don't want that. Well, how do you get that, Bennett? How do you get this cold, healthy smoothie? You have to introduce products to make it cold. Most smoothie shops will add ice. There's one shop in particular that I won't name names, but they add 4 cups of cubed ice into a smoothie to introduce the cold into the smoothie. Well, what does that do? It just waters down, you're drinking half water, right?
Yep.
So it waters down the natural flavors of the fruit.
And the consistency is, I feel like it's creamier with a, like, if you do a frozen banana versus a banana with ice, it's a way creamier feel.
It's totally different feel. There's a total science to it. So we use IQF fruit, individually quick frozen fruit.
Okay.
And what that means is you take that fruit and they take at its peak of ripeness, they flash freeze it really fast. And all the natural sugars in that little strawberry immediately rush to the perimeter of that little strawberry to try and protect it, okay? It's kind of its defense mechanism. So then what happens is you throw that frozen strawberry into a commercial blender and blend it, and those concentrated natural sugars of that piece of strawberry are vibrant in their taste. Uh-huh. They actually taste more vibrant than in fresh. But importantly, it also adds the cold to your smoothie. So we don't have to add ice, okay? The IQF fruit itself introduces the cold and creates the thick, warm, beautiful, healthy product.
I like that. And speaking of the health, like I've noticed in the last few years or 10 years, like America seems, or at least some people seem, that health is more important, right? And people are a lot more conscious of what they are eating and taking into their bodies. How do you feel like that's, you know, have you seen that in the life of Roxbury?
Yeah, we have. You know, when we first started, you know, we have everything from ultra healthy smoothies mm-hmm. to not so healthy smoothies. And we, cause we want to appeal to the masses, right? And when we first started, I have to say, it seemed like more people would gravitate to the sherbet based smoothies or, you know, the non-fat frozen yogurt based smoothies. They sold a lot. And they're still very healthy. They're a lot more healthy than when, you know, a McDonald's milkshake or something. Yep. But what we're seeing more of now is people kind of changing that pendulum and going to the more fruit and vegetable based smoothies.
Yeah,
because they're understanding the health benefits.
I mean, and a lot of it, again, at least in my world, like how you feel is a correlation with how you eat, and people are starting to see that more. And it's like, okay, if I want to feel better and think clearer, I need to put better food in my body.
Correct.
So correct. I love that you guys are doing that. Shifting gears a little bit. I know last week, whenever we spoke, you mentioned that you'd closed a few stores. I don't know how I want to ask that question. I mean, the question I had here is, have there been any failures or closures, and what did you learn from? Should I just hit it like that? I'm thinking if I have to do a transition from whatever else you just, whatever. Like what you just said to kind of acknowledge that healthy. So I definitely agree that we're seeing that shift, and it's awesome that Roxbury's at the forefront on providing those healthy options. And then again, I always get those add-ins, you know, shifting gears a little bit, closures. Any company that's been around for 18 years has had some closures. What have you guys learned from closures?
Yeah. Closures sadly happen from time to time. And we've had a few. Mostly it was COVID related. Mm-hmm. We had a couple before COVID came around. And they were, I can point to issues. Like we had a young lady that was awesome. She had a Chinese restaurant, and it was a very good Chinese restaurant, some of the best Chinese food in the valley. And there was a vacancy next door to her, and she wanted to do Roxbury. And so she put a Roxbury in there, but she would, you know, there was operation issues. You know, she operated it like her Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And there was some issues there. And unfortunately, that closed. Most of the problem that we've had was through COVID. I would say that in a large part, COVID was wonderful for Roxbury because people had that health element like, okay, I don't want to get sick. How do I prevent myself from getting sick?
Vitamin C boost.
Yes, I'm going to eat more healthy, right? Yep. We have an actual smoothie that we call the flu fighter smoothie. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. The sales go off the charts with that. But we learned a lot through COVID, and some of the stores that were not in the best locations, that were not operated the best that they could have been, mm-hmm. suffered through COVID. We had some of our non-drive-through stores for a period of time, they didn't even allow customers to come inside the store. And so we had to pivot and figure out how to put a kiosk outside the store. And bear in mind, it's kind of cold here in the winter, and that was a little hard. So we've learned some great and valuable lessons through COVID.
Yeah.
And so we've tried to raise the bar with store operations. We've tried to raise the bar with our site selection process, and we've raised the bar with our selection process and our vetting process of our franchise partners.
And if you look at, again, 17, 18 years, few dozen stores and only a handful of closures over. I mean, but you look at business statistics, it's like 80% of businesses are supposed to be gone within 10 years, whatever that number is. So like the track record is great. And then you're only continuing to learn and improve, which is awesome. Hitting on the menu real quick. We have smoothies, healthy and a little bit not as healthy, acai. What are the other products and that Roxbury offers and why?
Good question. So we started with smoothies. And to be honest, we started with just fruit-based smoothies, okay? We built 110 Zooka Juice stores that we sold to Jamba Juice without any vegetables in the store at all, right? So it all started with fruit. And same with Roxbury. We started with fruit-based smoothies. And a couple years after we opened, I would say 4 or 5 years, maybe longer after we opened, we had a couple franchisees say, hey, we should do a green smoothie. And my wife was telling me, Brad, we need to do a green smoothie. So we ultimately, and I begrudgingly did it, to be honest. I didn't think it was going to work. We created the original green smoothie. And it quickly became our number one smoothie.
Really?
Okay? Believe it or not. It was crazy. So obviously we followed that up with a whole line of green smoothies, vegetable-based smoothies. And then we gravitated into acai bowls. You know, I told you my favorite place in the world is Hawaii. We go there often. I would eat these acai bowls and I'm like, dang, I need to educate Utah on what an acai bowl is.
Your guys' acai is amazing. Yeah. It's super soft if you want to go through how you do that.
Yeah, so we sell more acai in the state than anybody because we do it right. And our acai is we bring it in from Brazil, you know, but for us and only us. And it's becoming more widely known. You know, acai is becoming more widely available and widely known amongst the population. But we started that and we brought it to them and we're so excited about our acai.
And the way that you guys serve it and the consistency is different than most of the competitors.
Yeah, most of them use like a scoopable sorbet type.
That's what I've always seen,
And we use what we call soft serve. It's kind of looks like a frozen yogurt. Mm-hmm. It comes to us frozen. And then we have to thaw it out in the refrigerator. We just keep it in the refrigerator, thaws out. And then we put it in this machine that reconstitutes it in a cold format. Uh-huh. And it's the highest quality acai. If you go to Brazil, it's what you're going to get, okay? Uh-huh. And so we've brought the authenticity of Brazil to Utah.
I love that. Outside of that, there's also snacks and savory items on the menu. What else do you guys offer on that?
Yeah, that's a fairly new occurrence for us. We've always had like little, you know, a power bar or something like that that you could get. But we've recently decided to move more into what we call our bites. And we started with pretzel bites. Mm-hmm. And we just did a ton of research and we found the best bites that we can. And they're very, very good.
Pretzels with cheese. And you also have the cinnamon sugar pretzels, right?
Correct.
I've had them both.
And then recently, we've been doing that for about a year. But just a few months ago, we launched these little churro bites. And of course, you know, they're not that healthy. We're not trying to be health with that. We're just trying to fill a need. And then we also added some food items. We have a wrap. We have a chicken wrap.
We have a turkey wrap.
And then we have these breakfast croissants. It's kind of like a quiche.
Yeah.
It's a quiche where you take this croissant and you bake ham and cheese and eggs or bacon and eggs. And it's really good. And it's really, really good. But this is new for us. We have just a few months ago, we launched this. So we'll see how it goes, but we're excited about it.
So I know simplicity is like a huge part of the Roxbury model and how simple it is. How do you keep that simplicity while adding new products?
It's a delicate balance because we don't want to add a lot of different SKUs and try and make the team work harder. For example, we have a protein bite. It's a little ball of our of ingredients that we already have at the store. For our acai bowls, we have the most amazing granola. It's so good. Our supplier is amazing. It's technically gluten-free, but we can't claim it's gluten-free because, you know, the environment that we're in.
Yeah.
But we take that really amazing granola and we add some of the peanut butter that we already stock. We add some of the flax seeds that we already have and we combine it all and we form it into a ball. And then we sell them these little protein bites and they are so good, right?
good.
So we're trying to capture, you know, some of the existing ingredients that we're already stocking and already aware of and know how to work with and make it into a product.
I was thinking the same thing with 30 though, trying to add new, it's like, and now I want to add shakes, but I don't want to add, I could add 16 flavors of shakes if I just have 2 flavors of ice cream and 8 flavors. So I like that, you know, always thinking like, let's add it. But okay, I have an employee. In every store, every day, there's always some downtime, right? So if that employee's down, just sitting there anyway, I already have all the ingredients. They just put them together, right? Like it doesn't cost me anything else really to make that product if they're making it in their downtime.
Yeah, if you look at our costs to create that protein bite, oh my gosh, it's so low because we're not bringing any new products in for it. We're not dedicating any more labor for it. It's already labor that's at the store and dedicated. So it's
you're already paying for it. So awesome. Okay, where am I at now? Just 2 more questions, I think. What kind of lifestyle change do franchisees experience? That's going to be my question. I'm going to pee my pants, but I only got 2 more questions. And then the last one is for someone listening who's on the fence, why should they consider Roxbury now? Okay, we just closed on simplicity. I also think simplicity is super important for like lifestyle. You know, you have to, and you mentioned that before, like, what do you want in the business? Do you want to be in there every single day or do you not want to be in there every single day? And for me, it's like, I want to learn it, then step out a little bit. And in order to do that, I need simplicity. But talk to me about like, what lifestyle changes have you seen in franchisees, you know, going from non-business owners to business owners?
Yeah, good question. So we've got kind of a spectrum, you know, those that just kind of wanted one store and ran with one store, they've been able to run with that and achieve their goals of retirehood and so forth. But we've also had, you know, on the other end of the spectrum where those, you know, they really want to scale. One of our franchisees, in fact, it was my very first franchisee, you know, he took a huge leap of faith on Roxbury and on me personally and jumped in with Roxbury. We had one corporate-owned store at the time, and he opened the second store, which was our first franchise store. He ultimately grew to 5 stores and then he sold 2 stores recently. And now he just travels. He and his wife travel all over and he has the other stores managed very well. And so his lifestyle has, you know, exponentially been amazing.
And the cool thing, like what he did, okay, I'm going to get 5 stores and I'm going to sell 2 of them so I could travel right now. And then I'm assuming like these other 3 stores, you can hand those. I mean, they're going to be running for 10 years, 20 years, whether he wants to sell them and pass that down as an inheritance or just keep the stores open. It's really cool if you do business right, especially as scalable franchising, like is generational wealth, which I think is super cool.
Correct.
Yeah. So last question for you, Brad, I've really appreciated your time. What would you say to somebody who's on the fence? You know, why should they consider Roxbury?
Yeah, I think, you know, whatever your goals are in life, you know, I would hope that you want to be happy and I hope that you want to, you know, find success and I hope that you want to be a good father, husband, wife, mother, whatever role you play. I think Roxbury can help you achieve those successes. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't do all the work for you, right? We want you to be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, okay? We want to make sure that, you know, we're there to help you. At the end of the day, you know, you get out of business what you put in. And so I don't expect you, if you are someone that is expecting to just open a store and sing kumbaya the rest of your life, you know, that's probably, you know,
it's not going to work.
It's not going to work for Roxbury or anybody. But if you're someone that's willing to put in some good time and effort in the initial stages, understand what you're working with and get your team involved, then Roxbury is perfect for that. You know, and I know a lot of franchises are and everyone's saying the same thing, but you mentioned a little earlier that one of your biggest hurdles is going to be your employees.
Yep.
And this is true. It's true for Roxbury as well. But the cool thing about Roxbury, and I don't know what it is, but comparing it to my ownership of Costa Vida and Subway sandwiches, and I had a barbecue restaurant, I had haircutting concepts, had all these concepts, the easiest to manage has always been Roxbury because young kids, they want to work at Roxbury. It's a fun place to work. You don't go home smelling like, you know,
barbecue
and fried exactly. Yep. It's a fun place to work. And so you're always able to attract good people. And if you as the owner are willing to help train that person within the tools that we provide you, so you're not alone to do that, then Roxbury is a really fun business to be in.
I've noticed a training, I'm going to speak to whoever owns the Pleasant Grove, Utah store. They ask me for my loyalty number every time, and I'm so grateful because I never say it, you know? But I'm like, the training, most employees at other chains, they're not asking. You have to bring it up and like, give me my points. And they're always asking, are you loyalty? You know,
I'm glad to hear that because we try and emphasize that. And it's really important to us because we want our loyal customers to get that payback with that loyalty, you know, kickback. So yeah, I'm glad they're doing that.
Well, awesome. I really appreciate your time.